Severin Borenstein is director of the University of California Energy Institute. Good morning.
Good morning.
How does the Senate plan strike a balance between domestic production and conservation?
Well, the Senate plan actually backed away from a lot of initiatives on both domestic production and conservation. It is moving towards more fuel drilling or more exploration in the United States, not for oil in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. There is going to be a lot more drilling for natural gas, particularly in Alaska, and a new pipeline they're talking about building. On the efficiency side and conservation, there's new funding for particularly technologies to produce more efficient energy from wind and solar power. There's also some money in there to do research on clean coal and safer nuclear power.
The House passed an energy bill last year, considerably different from the Senate's version, right?
Oh, yeah, quite a bit different. The House bill was much more aggressive on exploration in Alaska, particularly it opened up drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge for oil.
Well, it's going to be some conference committee. Are they going to be able to agree to an energy package this year?
I think so. I think what's going to happen is the Senate bill is pretty much going to carry the day. I suspect what will happen is the House will agree to get what they can get, which is basically going to match the Senate bill.
One thing they both left untouched was fuel efficiency standards for automobiles and trucks. Should they have been revamped?
I think it's pretty clear that there's a strong movement for raising fuel efficiency standards. The standards we have now are particularly antiquated in the way they treat SUVs and small trucks. There was a big fight in the Senate over that, and they got shoved off to the Department of Transportation with a request for them to do something.
Much of the energy debate focuses on the extent of America's dependence on foreign oil. Can America change its relationship with foreign oil producers?
Well, this is a real problem with the whole energy debate and what's been going on both in Congress and the White House. There really isn't a prospect of energy independence over the near term, and the incremental changes that could come about really are not going to have any effect on the U.S. economy or on the disruptions that we might face. There's a world oil market out there that includes the oil in the United States, and what we'd like to see is more availability of oil in stable areas, whether that's the United States or Canada or Norway or even the increasingly stable areas of Eastern Europe. Unfortunately, there's been this focus on the need to somehow produce all of our own oil, and that's simply not going to happen. We don't have the reserves to do it.
President Bush met yesterday with Saudi Arabia's Crown Prince Abdullah about the violence in the Middle East. Crude oil futures rose yesterday in part over new concerns about the future of U.S.-Saudi relations. How important are the Saudis to U.S. energy policy?
Well, in the short run, they're very important. Saudi Arabia has the largest oil reserves in the world, and they really are the driver behind OPEC. Whenever there's a disruption in the Middle East, we do see oil prices rise. Saudi Arabia has been pretty instrumental so far in moderating those fluctuations by making statements that they, for instance, will replace the oil that Iraq says they're going to take off the market.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Severin Borenstein is director of the University of California Energy Institute and a public policy professor at the Haas School of Business at the University of California at Berkeley.